two of our favorite people, Adam McKelvey and Eric Name, will be out here at 8:35.
Yeah, why did he get the late shift?
The early shift because you work out in the morning.
That's right. I just had a Krispy Kreme because I'm going to go straight to
you. Well, we scheduled you.
Come on, really?
Oh, yeah.
A Krispy Kreme before working out?
Of course.
Oh, yeah, you got to have something to burn off.
No,
yeah.
Well, you got to work out because then you got to work. You got to burn that off and then.
Hey, my whole life is playing for the tie, Chuck. I'm perfectly happy playing for the tie.
That's exactly what it's called. When you eat bad and you work out, it's called playing for the tie.
We sandwich you guys around Tommy Dreamer because I know you're both old school wrestling fans. So Tommy Dreamer will be out here at 8.
Yeah, we saw the Monday Night Raw the other night.
It was the worst Monday Night Raw in the history of Monday Night Raw.
Yeah, it was not good.
A guy peed on screen.
That's not terrible.
And you saw the stream.
What I think is cool is when you guys go out when you're at spring training, you guys always run into a honky tonk man.
The Honky Tonk Man is a friend of Mike Vassallo, the Brewers PR guy. So he comes out, and the best part is just sitting there having lunch with him and hearing stories about, you know, what it was back in the day and, you know, getting smashed by chairs and breaking ribs and the grind that those guys go through to you know, we talk about playing 162 is really tough. The grind that those guys go through is insane because if you're hurt or you can't do it every day, like Vince will just find someone else.
Yeah, that you lose your place in line. It's called you lose your spot.
It's brutal. And listening to Honky Tonk Man, it's but man, it's cool.
Greatest Intercontinental
Champion. He's still super cool. He's still got the hair.
I was hoping that when I was out there, I was hoping to run into him.
We didn't see him this spring.
Greatest Intercontinental Champion of all time. This is Mike City. He said he didn't stop by this year, but normally I've always enjoyed those pictures of you guys. So, all right, let's talk to Brewers. Jonathan Scope, number one. Today's the day, whether or not they're going to tender him. Is he going to be a Brewer in 2019 or not?
Well, Ken Rosenthal says they're leaning no, and the next time Ken is wrong about something will be the first. I usually trust what Ken's sources say. And then David was on your guys' air last night and acknowledged that, you know, one of the options is to trade him before this deadline. Mm-hmm. That's, you know, you guys know David Stearns. That's a rare thing to give. That is an option. So, you know, I think that the odds seem unlikely at this point that they stick with him. That can change, obviously. I think if history is right, they'll sign a guy or two today. Sometimes they can say, like, you know, look, you're probably a not – teams can almost hold this date over players and say, we're probably going to, you know, non-tender you. Would you sign for this? And then the guy signed. But there are rules in baseball that limit how much a guy's salary can be cut, for example. So there are still lots of options on the table, and Stern said it would go right to the end. But I think after today, because Scope's not the only guy that's on that, you know, kind of tough call list. Junior Guerra is arbitration eligible now for the first time. Do you want to pay him a couple million bucks? You know, there's other players on that list. They're lefties. Cedeno and Dan Jennings are on that list. There's still 12 players out there, and for all the locks, Travis Shaw and Jimmy Nelson and Corey Knebel, there are some tougher decisions. So there could be a couple players that hit free agency today, and I think they'll work right up to that deadline at 7 o'clock tonight to try to make their decisions. And then after that, like tomorrow morning, we will have a much clearer picture of how much money do they have to spend this offseason and where are their needs. If Scope's gone, obviously you have a big need on the infield now to figure out for the rest of the offseason.
I appreciated what David Stearns said. He was out here, as Adam mentioned, Adam McKelvey, Brewers.com, MLB.com. David Stearns out here at the Toy Drive with the Big Show. If you missed that, John Paul's Buick GMC brings you Fan on Demand, Radio.com, and 1057FMTheFan.com as well for all of our on-demand podcasts, including everything that we've done so far this week as well. But I appreciated that David Stearns, Sparky asked him, because you gave up for something, does that influence your decision now? And David Stern said, this is a separate decision from that decision. The decision should be, right now, would you go into arbitration with a guy you're probably going to have to pay $10 million for, knowing what you know, and not what happened before, the sunk cost theory in sports. Yeah. It was a big reason why a lot of people, like me, had a hard time seeing Jabari Parker go because of what the Bucks spent to get him. But I do appreciate that at least he said that, and I think as a general manager, if you can look at it that way, that will eliminate a lot of the mistakes that general managers make throughout this game.
Yeah, well, it's almost like you kind of have to admit your mistake. And even calling it a mistake maybe is a little harsh, but sometimes you make a decision, and all of us do this. you make a decision and it doesn't work. And I think we can all relate to the idea that when you make a call like that mm-hmm. and it doesn't work, sometimes you stick with it because you know, you made that decision and you're kind of stubborn about
sure.
it. And I think all of us can relate to that with David Stearns. Those decisions just happen to be out there in the public, and there's people on a bunch of radio stations that sit around and talk about it all day. And it was I thought that was interesting because I've been saying all along that part of the argument for keeping Jonathan Scope is that they and their whole baseball team, they made the analysis that this guy was a good enough player, had that power that you know, 32 mm-hmm. homers two seasons ago, and it was worth giving up Jonathan Villar plus two, you know, top 20 or so prospects to get a guy because you'd have that guy for a year and a half. So you made that analysis, and the argument for keeping Jonathan Scope, even though the cost would be 10-ish million and he did so little for you down the stretch, would be that, look, he was good enough to make that trade in the first place in your eyes. So you got to stick with that analysis. But I agree with you that yesterday David Stearns kind of disconnected this decision from that trade, and I thought that's another reason to kind of lean in the non-tender category today, and that also made me think, like, look, they're gonna, you know, sounds like they're getting ready to cut ties with this player, but he's not gonna say that because he's gonna spend the day trying to find somebody to take him on, get mm-hmm. some kind of player for him in return. It's a tough task because I think 29 other teams know he's probably gonna be a free agent at 701.
First base is interesting because what are they gonna do with Eric Thames? They yeah. can't play him in the outfield. Is he gonna trade him? Are they gonna sit him another year? He wasn't even on the postseason roster. Is he a valuable commodity to trade? Or
you know,
is he going to be
for us?
Or does he have a chance of winning that spot back?
I mean, I would think he is a trade candidate. And again, we were we were just talking about payroll, and right now they have like $70 million committed to, I think it's 9 players with Eric Kratz on there. But the mm-hmm. big boys are, the big salaries are Braun, Kane, Yelich, and then you get into like Chasen, Anderson, Thames. Mm-hmm. Those guys are in like the 6-ish million. So Eric Thames and Chase Anderson are interesting trade candidates. Thames because you've sort of identified Jesus Aguilar as a, you know, he's the guy was an all-star, that great first half, not as good in the second half, but you think a player can learn something from that experience and be better over the course of a season. And now you played a lot of Travis Shaw on the stretch as kind of your left-handed first baseman. So I think there is definitely an opportunity to trade Eric Thames. And, you know, look, those power numbers, when you sit there and look at the numbers on paper, those numbers look pretty good. The strikeouts are obviously an issue. He didn't play down the stretch. That's an issue in his value. But power is still a very valuable commodity in this game. Eric Thames can handle these fastballs in this league. The salary is not obscene for what he could give a team. So I think there is an opportunity to trade him. And then I think the other guy is Chase Anderson, kind of an interesting player. Lost his spot down the stretch, but it gave up all the homers. That is certainly a negative. But, you know, the numbers over the last couple of years are still pretty good, and that's a very favorable contract. So if the Brewers want to free up a little bit of payroll because they have so much committed now to all these arbitration guys and their other players, because that's what happens to teams as they get better, I think he's another guy that's kind of interesting to dangle out there, and we'll see if we hear his name in a couple of weeks at the winter meeting.
I'm Bart Winkler. That is Chuck Freedom. Freeman.
Chuck Freedom. Freedom.
Maybe that's a new nickname for me. A Chuck, wrestling nickname.
Chuck Freedom.
I think if I was going to be a wrestler.
Yeah, that'd be
Chuck Freedom.
Oh, my God. With, like, red, white, and blue trunks.
How about Charlie Freedom?
That might be a good gimmick.
Chuck, if you were a wrestler, would you go like the full? Would you go like the suit, or would you go like just the trunks?
I would wear the singlet, probably.
Really?
Yeah.
I thought you would be a trunks
like the
guy.
like Jerry Lawler.
Okay, yeah.
A singlet.
I would probably wear jeans or shorts. I don't like that you can see the package area.
Why?
Why do you think, Chuck? Come on.
Because you have no package.
For him's that guy.
Okay. All right. All right.
Where am I?
Oh, you're right in the middle of the fucking winter.
Next topic.
Next baseball question, please.
The outfield for the Milwaukee Brewers, is it safe to say Kane, Yelich, and
Bryce
Braun,
Harper?
Any additions, do you think, on this team?
The one thing I'll say, and this is like goes for everything they do, is when you think you know how it lines up and they look pretty set, David Stearns will do something to throw us all off. I mean, last year, Domingo Santana looked as much a lock for playing time as anybody I've ever seen. A young player, mid-20s, coming off 30 homers. And then, you know, that day in January, they trade for Christian Yelich and sign Lorenzo Cain, and everything gets thrown out of whack. So certainly right now it looks like the combination they had is the combination they're going with. And Domingo Santana is part of that mix somehow.
Is he, though? I mean, Broxton and Santana, they got to trade them. They're wasting those guys, aren't they?
Yeah, but you say that, but then in the end, you know, last year we went through this, Chuck, where they pick up those two guys and they say, we all were saying, all spring training, too many outfielders, too mm-hmm. many. It turned out they had the perfect number of outfielders. They didn't have extra guys.
Well, but Broxton and Santana spent a lot of time in the minor leagues, and those guys are major players.
Partly because it was for performance reasons. Yeah. I mean, in Domingo Santana's case, the performance kind of solved. Jeez. It's like we always talk about, the answers sometimes come from performance. So, I have a hard time thinking that there's a crowd anymore at these positions because they've just shown an ability to make it work when it looks like they have too many guys. The way baseball goes now, where you're playing for the platoon advantage at all these different positions. To me, it looks like they have the guys they have, and they certainly will be additions. But again, I'm sitting around waiting for the big surprise that we don't see coming.
Adam McKelvey on site here at the Toy Drive. Thank you to Christian, who just donated some toys and then left here in a jet, apparently, is what that noise was.
Wow.
That van needs a tune-up.
He took all the money he needed for a tune-up and donated it to us.
Yeah.
And then a muffler and everything.
I think so. Adam, how has your job changed since you started? What was it, 2005?
One.
2001.
Yeah.
2001.
I came with the stadium.
Fresh face kid.
They built the stadium and I was sitting there and they had to figure out something to do with me.
Now an elder statesman of the Brewers media mafia.
Yeah.
Twitter's been invented since 2001. He's on MLB TV all the time.
Yeah. Do you know what the biggest difference is? When we first started at MLB.com, we would, you get the best part about baseball is the access. Mm-hmm. And you get lots of player access before the game. You get the manager before every single game. So there's an opportunity to write news right away, which now we think of as just, that's how it's done. Something happens and you share it right away and everybody knows about it almost instantaneously. But then in 2001, this was kind of a new idea because the newspapers would have the newspaper would come out in the morning. This was before, mm-hmm. They were doing some things on the internet, but not, posting stories right away. So there was a lot of hard feelings, shall we say, between the newspaper crew and these, online entities like MLB.com, because we were like coming in and kind of scooping them, just not because we were better reporters, but just because we could put things out for the public right mm-hmm. away. So that led to a lot of butting of heads, and it kind of changed the way newspapers did it. And then, obviously Twitter comes along, and that changes it even more. So I think what's changed, and I guess it's weird to think that I've been around long enough to sort of have seen the change in how news happens so much faster now. I've been able to kind of watch that and be part of it. And it's odd to think about the way it used to be where
you've been able to watch newspapers die right in front of you,
which is sad because we need them.
Because
I
agree.
Democracy
dies in darkness.
It is. It's sad because I bet initially you probably went to school to become a newspaper writer.
Yeah. Yeah. I went to journalism school. And
all these guys. And now the newspaper, because we get kids who want to be interns with us and they say, well, I'm in the newspaper part. And I'm like, well. Be well-versed in everything.
Yeah, but still, those skills, when I talk to kids, because I get asked a lot about, what can I do to get a job? You still need to know how to write. Even if the newspapers do eventually go away or whatever, knowing how to write and to communicate in written mm-hmm. form is always going to be a huge skill for you. Even for you guys, you're writing scripts, coming up with ideas. You need to know how to write.
Without a doubt.
Even if there's not the tangible paper to hold in our hands, I think that's always going to be a skill. And look, I subscribe to the newspaper. I think everybody should because they're really, really important. Mm-hmm. Forget the sports stuff. That's really important part of the community, and it really does make me – everyone says this, but it really does make me sad if it goes away, and I think something would be lost. So I hope that this slow burn that we've been watching continues slowly and those – that's a really hard business.
I hate hearing all the newspaper layoffs.
Yeah, it's tough.
And there's no secret. There's, broadcasters and newspaper guys, there's always been a little bit of rift between those guys, but I don't want and it's come a long ways because you guys are in our business now too, but there was a for years and years, you know, there was a big separation between the two. I don't want to see the newspapers go away or the guys lose their jobs. And you hear the, you know, the Tribune and Sun-Times are always cutting people. And it's like, that's not good for America.
No, it's not good. It's not good. And you're right. That rift, and it is a smaller rift now because all of us scribes are all over. You know, here I am sitting with you guys. Yeah. I'm on every week.
Started with Peter Gammons.
The jobs are all you're right.
Started with Peter Gammons. He was the first writer, I think, getting into this. And Bob Ryan.
Yeah, exactly. And yeah, we're all, the jobs are all melted. So that's the other thing I tell kids who want to get into, who are interested in sports or interested in journalism, is do everything.
Yep.
You have to be proficient and open-minded to doing everything. And the more you can get on your resume and all these different experiences, it's going to help you.
Chuck and Winkler, served up by Perkins Restaurant and Bakeries. Adam, we appreciate you coming out here, not just for us, but every year he comes out for Bill's show and the big show and for our show. And that is, I know it's you know, a good chunk of time, and so we appreciate it.
Yeah, but I love it. I love this cause. Children's Hospital is the absolute best. They are such special people there. I think it's awesome you guys come out here and freeze for a week every year. Mm-hmm. It's tremendous. So I hope people out and about come by. That box is looking – There's some stuff in there, but
you know
what
a lot of people do today is the dip jar.
Yeah,
where you dip your credit card into the jar.
See that? For baseball people, you have to specify what that is.
And
you know, the dip jar is not something you want a part of in baseball.
And don't leave your credit card around him because he'll just secretly go over there, boom, boom,
keep
boom,
dipping. Yeah,
it's for the kids.
Let's add a couple of zeros.
And before you know it, it's like, what? My credit limit went down.
Well, I'm doing it for the kids.
I did that.
I'm stealing your money and giving it to the hospital.
It's an awesome.
I'm kind of like the Robin Hood of the fan.
Yes,
is what I am. Adam, thank you so much.
All right. See you, boys.
Thanks,
we'll see you. Adam McKelvey, Brewers.com, MLB.com. Mr. Brewer Writer Guy, what did they call you?
Mr. Brewer Man.
Mr. Brewer Man, and Adam McKelvey.
This was a great year for stuff like that.